that kind of do their own thing?
Because you got, like, Sebastian Junger, that guy who wrote Tribe with Rogan. Did you ever read that book?
I don't even know who that is. Sebastian Junger?
Yeah. You should watch the podcast with Rogan. It's really good. He was just going through his life, and he's like, yeah, I was a reporter in the Army, so I would just fly over and do stories on the war, and I was, like, flying in helicopters doing all this stuff. Then I got back, and I didn't really know what to do, so I was cutting down trees. I was, like, climbing trees and cutting them down. And he's like, then I wrote a book. And it's, like, the line is, like, it's kind of like caddying would fit into that line. And, like, what were you doing? You know, I was playing professional golf. I was caddying. And then, like, it just shows up that now you're this. Like, you think about Gary Vee. Gary Vee's working at the wine shop, and it's just like, oh, that's all I'm doing, you know? It never looked like what he is now. That beanbag chair is going to be a problem, too, on the audio.
You want to test it?
No, it's fine. I mean, this is nothing, but...
So do you feel like that, bringing up that point, that goes against what we were saying about taking necessary steps to get to the end goal? Like, where do you think that fits into the conversation? Like, you're saying, like, he went from being, like, a helicopter pilot, cutting trees, wrote a book. There's not a lot of trend lines there.
Yeah, I feel like you just figure it out as you get started. Like, even, like, that natural lifestyle guy that I've been listening to, who ran the 900 miles in all across England. He's like, yeah, I was just, like, in the Army, and then, like, I fell in love with Pilates, so I started to become a Pilates instructor, and then I found, like, three rich dudes, and I was training them, like, three times a week, and I was like, Pilates isn't the answer, and he started getting trained in something else, and something else, and something else, and then he just kind of, like, created his path, like, this is what I am. If you think about Corey's just like, yeah, I'm going to Burma after graduating, like, what the hell are you doing? You got all this debt, and he's just leaving and going to Burma, and then he comes back, and he ironed out the path along the way. Like, he found the thing that he needed to follow, and then he went. I think, like, right now we're kind of looking for, like, Simon Sinek had something today about, like, passion, and he's like, you don't necessarily have to be a visionary, but find a visionary that you believe in and follow him. I think that's, like, a good point. Like, you either have to become the visionary, or you have to find someone else's vision that you believe in and then hop on board. I think that's kind of, like, health, wellness, all these things, they sound good, but they're still, like, it's like if you had 10 categories to choose from, health and wellness is one of them, but then inside health and wellness is 1,000 things that you could do, and you got to find that, like, one string that you can pull just to get the thing started to unweave. Like, I think it's easy to say, like, oh, performance and this and that, but, like, what specifically? Like, you're Sean Stevenson, like, sleep. Like, he deep dove in that and became, like, the number one.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good point to bring up, because now he's diving into a bunch of different topics, but I think that branched off from becoming an expert in one thing.
Yeah, he set, like, his foundation.
Right. He's not a jack of all trades doing a podcast. He has a specific expertise, and then he brings in other people to supplement the overall package.
Yeah.
And obviously, over that time, he's going to become super knowledgeable in a bunch of different areas, but at its core, he's someone that's, you know, a certified nutritionist, but also an expert in sleep. Like, it's nice to be able to say you're an expert in what? Like, we're not an expert in anything.
Yeah.
We just have a lot of, like, knowledge and small amounts of knowledge in a lot of different things.
Yeah.
And that's also an issue of choosing a path, because we have enough knowledge to be interested in a bunch of topics, but we haven't dove deep enough into a few.
Yeah.
But on the same side of that is, like, the whole Gary Vee tastes a lot of things. So I don't think it's a bad thing that we're tasting different things and trying, but eventually you gotta try to dive into something.
Right now there's not really any area that we can add value, and that's why you're kind of a prisoner to the way your life's going. That's why I'm caddying. And that's why you're in a job where you're, not that anyone could do your job, but almost anyone could do your job as long as you had, like, basic principles that you do have that will apply to anything, but, like, hard work, attention to detail, things like that. But it's not like you're bringing a specific skill set, and the things that we are interested in require specific skills, like the banking job that I want. Like, if I'm going to do banking, I need a specific skill set to be valuable that I don't have. That's why I'm caddying. It's not because, like, it's more because I haven't learned the skill set and have no interest in learning the skill set and have, you know what I mean? Like, there's no value there. Like, nutrition, in somewhat of a way, I can provide value. Like, if you had a question, like, I can answer your question relatively sure. Like, Maureen or Mom, Dad, or something like that. Like, if they have a question on nutrition, I can give them a reasonably great answer. But even that, it's still, like, baseline. It, the only reason it's valuable to them is because they're at, like, 0 to 10. They're at 0. So if you had anyone who knew anything, maybe we're at a 2, but a 3, 4, or 5 is going to smoke us.
Yeah, and again, you're only going off sources, like, just on, like, you know, Google articles, a few books here and there. But when it comes to, being an expert, you've got to start diving into, like, the case studies.
Yeah.
And the actual, like, science write-ups on these specific things. Like, yeah, we have some general ideas on what, like, magnesium or, like, vitamin D does, and we can explain that to our parents or cousins or whatever and give them a decent answer. But when it comes to, like, actually being an expert on that topic, you gotta, like, actually dive into the case studies and, like,
yeah. And even more so, like, you couldn't look at blood work and be like, yeah, your magnesium's low and you need this and let's go on this protocol and this whatever else. Like, you'd be like, yeah, I don't know what this says.
Yeah.
But Gary V said eat more bananas.
And it seems like, for me, and I feel like you probably agree as well, is once something becomes maybe a little bit boring, it just doesn't have, like, that same spark as it did when we first started getting into it. As soon as, like, it hits that point, we just, like, pivot out. When that's the point to, like, dive in a little deeper, because I truly do believe in the mindset that you create a passion. And to learn about something for a period of time and get that dopamine hit, and then as soon as, like, you actually need to get the hard work in, just pivot out into something new to, like, get that dopamine hit again is, like, something I feel like we both struggle with. And that's why we're just changing. And I shouldn't speak for you, but for me, it's, like, changing ideas, changing workout plans, changing habits, diets. Like, it's changing too much because it gets boring, but, like, it's falling in love with that.
I would say yes and no. I would say no, because I think there's a lot of ways that go 0 and 1. I think the internet gets you from 0 to 1, but it's very hard to go from 2 to 10. So, like, you can deep dive into any subject and get to a level 1. But the info that you need after level 1 to get to 2 to 10 is a lot harder to come by, and you have to be more. I don't think we get bored. I think more so we lose the path and we're like, I don't know what to do now. So then it's like, all right, let me go try something else. And then you go, you start that path too. You get to, like, that first sign where, like, hey, you've reached level 1. And then, like, we don't know. Then there's no path and you got to, like, start chopping down wood and, like, do stuff. So we're like, I don't know where I am, so we go right back to the start. Oh, here's another path, and we go down 0 to 1. It's like, oh, here's a good 0 to 1. We finish it, and we're like, this is the one. You get there. I don't think you get bored. I think you just, like, you have that excitement from the beginning. You go down the path. It's very easy to get to 1, but after 1, it's kind of just like you're in space, and you don't know where you're looking. So it's like, what do I do now? And we're not good at that what do I do now thing. I think that's where, like, if you deep dive 0 to 1, you know the basics. Now you got to find, like, that guy or that company or whatever, like, that place where you can focus on sleep now at a higher level. Does that make sense or not?
Yeah, I agree with that.
Because it's not that I'm getting bored of things. It's just that, like I did that body coach thing. I crushed it for 3 months. But then it was after body coach, he sent me this thing with, like, macros. And I was like, oh, this is way harder than, like, that early path. So I don't know what to do. So then I tried a bunch of different things because I didn't have, like, a strict, it goes back to that strict plan. Like, if you have a strict plan, we kill it. If we don't have a strict plan, we get smoked.
So, I mean, for me, if, like, as an example, if I really wanted to get a get really, really into sleep as a topic, and I have a person like Sean Stevenson where I can dive into everything and learn everything through him, and because I know he's like a knowledgeable source and I can trust that source. What do you think is like the stopper there, or have you like? Do you have a topic that you know you want to really get into and you know of a person that you really value and, like, know it's a trusted source and you're still not going through that path? Like, do you know what...
So what I'm saying is I think Sean Stevenson still, what he's going to be able to teach you is, like, a level one. And maybe one's too simple, but it's just easy for the example. But I don't think, like, if you were to become the next Sean Stevenson or you were to become someone like him, like, the person who becomes Sean Stevenson 2.0 is not listening to Sean Stevenson for all of his information. He's got to add a different spin on it somewhere. He's got to pull from a different thing. Like, Naval talks about, like, the best way to be someone important is to get in the top 5% of three fields and then find the intersections, and then that's your field that you dominate, because statistically speaking, no one's going to be able to get top 5%, top 5%, top 5% in three things, or the three things that you're in. It would be very rare. So that's kind of like where you find your niche, and that's where you're good. Like, if you could be great with video editing and you know the basics on sleep, and then you're also a good writer, you have a lot better chance of being Sean Stevenson than if you just know the sleep portion. Like, you have three things that you're good at now rather than just the one. So you got to almost find, like, you either have to be the guy who's in the top 1% of the information, or you have to be the guy who's in the top 10% of the information, but also is in the top 10% of things that also apply to the information. Does that make sense?
No, it does. I'm trying to figure out, like, What's getting you to a 2 that we're not doing? Like, are you saying that the internet alone is not quite capable of getting you to past the 1?
I think like Gary V's push-up example, I think, comes in here too, where, like, when you're on the internet, like, I think about it in terms of golf. If I went on the internet and I watched hours and hours and hours of golf video, but I never went to the golf course and hit a ball, I would be miserable. I'd be worse than the guy who never watched any video and just showed up at the golf course and, like, hey, what do you do here? And just start hitting. There's a guy on the range next to me. I'm like, yo, am I holding this right? And he's like, no, you got to hold it this way. And then I hit him, like, oh, that helped. Thanks a lot. And then I'm just watching people on the range. I'm like, oh, that guy's feet are a little different than mine or whatever else. Rather than sitting here in the room, like, I'm sure it would be the same for tennis. If I just sat here in the room and just watched videos on tennis, and I was like, dude, let's go play tennis, I don't think that works.
No, I agree with you. I mean, it would get you to potentially a 1 because, like, you know what you're supposed to do and how it's supposed to look.
Yeah.
So I think there is some, like, there is a visual aspect to it that could help, but I agree, it's not going to get you past that level 1, as we're using an example.
Like, go ahead.
But I guess that's what's intriguing about going to work for a performance company.
Yeah.
So, like, for me, I would love to just get to whatever level is needed to be valuable enough to get into the company, and then that moves me from 2 to 5, and then I figure out my own thing, or I go into something else that gets me to 5 to 7, and then I finally jump into my own to get into that top 10%, because I at least understand what I need to do to get into the top 10%. But to be in the bottom 10% and start my own business and jump into that 10 is, like, I guess that's, like, really intimidating. So, which probably causes some procrastination on my end.
It's intimidating, and also it seems unlikely. So it's...
Yeah, so I just want to get to whatever basic level is needed to get into a company that I think is doing good and would put me at least into a direction that's trending to a 2 and then a 3.
Yeah.
Right now, it's like at Wheels Up, there's no levels because there's nowhere to go.
Okay. Yeah.
There's no interest to go anywhere else.
Yeah. There's no passion to move forward. There's no, like, nothing. There's no angle at Wheels Up that looks intriguing. Unless you, like, become a pilot. Which isn't going to happen.
And the path I'm on doesn't get you close to there, so.
Yeah.
The only thing that you can do is move up within finance and, like, become a director.
Yeah. Fucking Naval's quote, play stupid games, win stupid prizes. That's kind of like what it is. Like, you're playing a stupid game. You're playing the game of, like, I'm going to...
For me.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, you're like a... Like in those concentration camps in China where they just, like, they make them do labor and it's, like, breaking rocks and whatever else. That's essentially what you're doing at that company. Like, you're essentially just fucking clocking in, doing some manual labor, clocking out, collecting a check, and then trying to get away from it the rest of your life. Like, the rest of your days, if you work 9 to 5, Monday through Friday, 6 to sleep... And weekends are like, I want to do anything but what I'm doing right now.
And, like, not even be able to fully disconnect based on the job structure.
Yeah.
Makes you feel like you're
Your position is shit, too. And I'm not dissing you. I think you would agree with that.
The nice part about it is, like, getting, like, now, like, I don't even know what it's like. Like, again, I have time on the weekends. It's not like I'm fucking sitting at my computer all weekend too.
Yeah.
But it's like you're in the mindset of like you're working every day. So like I feel like the only positive about that is like that could translate well into something if I actually enjoy it.
Yeah. Yeah, but that kind of goes back to what I was saying earlier, like, and not to be discouraging, because there obviously are people... Like, Cameron Haynes does that. Cameron Haynes works 9 to 5 and now has added this bow hunting... Like, he's always been a bow hunter, but, like, the video of it and the podcast and all this stuff becoming a personality, like, that's been more recently, but he still goes through his 9 to 5 every day. So that's, like, an example of someone who is doing it. But if you look at most of the people, and maybe it's not most of the people, but the people who I'm following, like, Rogan was, like, working at a casino, delivering newspapers, doing all these things, because what he needed to do was make cash and then free up time, whereas you're doing it the opposite. Like, you're getting the cash and you're getting more cash, but you're locking down time. And it seems like most people, they do, like, the shit jobs to free up the time, and then that works. Like, they live like a homeless person for X amount of years, and then it's like, oh, it hits, and now it works. But... You think of even Gary Vee, like, he's kind of an in-between example, but he's probably more your example than the other way.
He worked 14 hours a day.
Yeah, and he was locking down cash and whatever else.
But he didn't give a fuck about weekends.
Yeah.
Like, he didn't care. He liked the line. Like, he...
Yeah, he was doing something he liked, so he's...
Like, he liked the... And he had a goal of, like, yo, I can turn this into $5 million to $60 million.
Yeah.
Like, he had to have that type of end goal result that's going to drive you to work that amount.
Yeah.
It's just like, if you do 70 or 100% and there's not much of a difference in the overall impact of the day in the company, it's like, it's not, you're going to have to, like, motivate yourself to bring 100. It's not like, it's not like whether or not you do it, it's a huge impact. Basically, it just comes down to, like, your values.
Yeah.
Like, I'm trying to bring a good performance every day just because, like, that's what I want to do.
Yeah.
But it's not like that's necessary.
Yeah.
But I want it to be.
Yeah.
I want to be somewhere where it's like, listen, you're going to get replaced if you're not.
Yeah.
Like, you're... And that mindset can work if you own your own company and you're your own boss.
Yeah.
If you're not doing it as well as your competitor or better, like, you're gonna get replaced. So, like, that's just a mindset for life. But, like,
mindset for life,
I don't see that. Like, it's not that. There's no need there for my current position.
Yeah.
And again, I feed off progress. Like, that's what makes me happy. And you don't see a lot of it.
Yeah. same thing with like Caddy and Sean Up. It's just like the same thing over and over and over again. Like, I'm getting mad about misreading the pot, but like, no one cares. My job's safe. Me and Zach were talking about this the other night too, how like caddying kind of a trap in the same way, because you make enough cash where you're like, all right, but you obviously can't do it forever. Like, if you wanted to caddy from 20 to 30, it's like, it's not bad. Like, you're making good cash, you can live off it, like, it's quick hours, you're good to go. But like, it doesn't scale long term. It's not like you're raising a family on caddy dollars, like the 20s.
And I mean, maybe someone like you can last longer, but from an average perspective, like, you're not going to be 50 years old. Like,
yeah.
Really doing that.
Yeah.
Like, you could, but...
I mean, there are guys that do it, but, like, you don't want to be. You don't want to, like, wake up as a 60-year-old and fucking be like, yeah, I got to go caddy this morning. But, like, two of the guys I work with are 60. The three of them. And they're still trucking. But, like, one of them, he has a job at Macy's. He works every day, caddies every morning, and goes to Macy's. He's legit. He wakes up every morning, gets the caddy in by 7:30. He caddies from 9 to 1. He's got to be by Macy's at 2. He works 2 to 10 at Macy's, goes to bed, and does it all over again. Saturdays, Sundays also. No Macy's in the afternoon, but caddies at 7 days a week, Macy's 5 days a week, 2 to 10 8-hour days.
It's like, what the fuck is the point of that?
It's legit, though. Like,
no, I'm not, like, like, he may have to, but, like...
And I asked him the other day, I'm like, yeah, Bob, like, you don't need the money. Like, I'm like, why do you caddy? And he's like, well, the money's nice. Like, the money helps because he can live however he wants to live now. So that makes sense?
Can he? Like, what are you, you know, what are you doing?
Well, because he's been at Macy's, he's 60 years old, but because he's been, he's not married, no kids. But because he's been at Macy's so long, he can, I think he said he gets like 4 weeks vacation. So he can just do whatever the fuck he wants in those four. Like, if you want, he's like, I go to Vegas with my friends. I'll go down to the Caribbean with friends. So like, you can live the life on those, you know, you don't have to worry about cash or anything else. Like, you got enough money to do that. And then he's like, I actually just really enjoy caddying. And like, for him, like, I joke around all the time. It's like paid cardio. Like, I'm running around the golf course. I'm getting exercise. Someone's giving me $200. As a 6-year-old man, it's probably like really beneficial for him to be running around every day, getting that exercise in, and he's getting paid for it, you know? And if he doesn't have an issue with sleep or whatever else, it's not a big deal. The 2 hours in the morning are super fun, like talking. Like, everyone loves those 2 hours where you're just talking shit. It's good camaraderie and whatever else, but I can see that path. Obviously, it wouldn't be for me and you, but like, I don't see that as a bad life for him. I don't see him. He's happy. Like, he likes what he's doing.
Yeah, I mean, that just goes to show, like, the importance of self-awareness.
Yeah. Like, there's no part of Bob that's like, man, I really wish. He loves caddying. Like, he shows up every day. He fucking loves it. Like, obviously, there's bad days where he's like, man, that loop sucked or whatever else. But, like, Bob looks forward to caddying. So, Danny also. Danny works only the weekends. He has a regular job during the week. And then he works the weekends every weekend. But Danny loves the weekends. Like, he had a wedding and a vacation the last 2 weekends, so he had to miss. He was, like, legitimately upset about missing caddy. Like, they love it. And they're 60-year-old guys. They've been there since they're, like, 15 years old. All the members, they've seen every member come, die, you know, new members, whatever. Seen the club transition through all these different waves. And, like, they're fixtures at the club, and they fucking love it. So it's not like a bad, you know? It's just, like you said, awareness is obviously very high. I'm more on the Rogan thing. Like, I don't want... Rogan always says, like, I don't want a boss to fucking tell me what to do. Like, I want to do it because I want to do it. I want to have, like, the passion, the hot, you know. He's big on, like, doing things that he finds interesting.
Yeah, and I think, but in my opinion, for how, like, I view it, a boss becomes, the definition of a boss is a lot different when the goal you're both attacking is, like, something you don't give a shit about versus something, like, you really do care about. I think, like, the way that relationship flows, I feel like, is a lot different. Like, a boss right now for a job I hate, that feels like you're talking at me and you're just barking orders at me. But if it's a boss that we're both after the same goal and both passionate about it, like, I don't mind the guidance and, like, the mentorship role, at least in, like, the beginning portion of my career. Like, I don't mind that.
But yeah, well, it's the difference between working together and working for someone.
Right.
Yeah. Like, if you're working for something, like, even at Wheels Up, if you were really into sales and you had a sales job at Wheels Up, like, you would like it more. It wouldn't matter that it's private aviation. You'd be doing something that you like and a game that you want to play. If you were into, like, marketing and branding, you wouldn't care that, oh, I'm marketing and branding Wheels Up. You'd be like, how can I make this more attractive? Like, how can I add value to this project? What you're doing right now is you're not adding any value. You're just, like, punching numbers into a fucking computer. So you're like, anyone, like, in your mind, you know, like, anyone could probably do this. And you don't see how you're contributing to the big picture of those planes flying more people. It's like, that's the problem with, like, those JP Morgan jobs too, because, like, I could get a job, but it would be the same thing. You'd just be, like, a fill-in, you know? That's why, like, the investment banking thing looks attractive from an outside perspective, not really knowing anything about it, because it's like, oh, at least I'm, like, actually, like, making deals that make sense for the company. Like, you actually, like, have a role that's, like, more than Excel. Like, hey, we need these numbers in A1 through Z32. All right. And fucking sit there, like, typing. Like, no thanks. Rather caddy. At least I get to rate a good putt every now and again.
Yeah, man, it matches a lot more things lifestyle wise than sitting.
Yeah.
I mean, you're moving around, so there's a health aspect to that you're getting.
Yeah.
You're getting vitamin D naturally, like, all those little things add to a value that you place around health.
Yeah.
And then,
yeah, the freedom's, like, definitely a perk. I mean, I got done today. I ran home. I got a lift in. I got to eat food at home, cook my food. Went and got a lift in. Nice little hour and a half lift. And then I went straight to yoga. Got that done. And now I'm home here. I got to wake up at 6 in the morning, beat a caddy in by 7. I know I'll be done by 1 tomorrow, too. And, like, do whatever I want the rest of the day. And like you're saying, like, even though it's a lot of time, at least it's, like, you're just running around. Like, it's physical exercise, which,
yeah, and it's not like the days are, I mean, I'm sure there's some loops here and there, but, like, I feel like overall, it doesn't feel like, you're not feeling every minute like you are sitting at a desk.
No, except for the other day.
Well, like, there's going to be some loops where it's like, oh,
yeah,
this is taking forever.
Caddy is one of those jobs where, like, one day, like, oh, this is the greatest thing ever. I can do this forever. Some guy, like, gives you, like, $100 more than he should. You're like, I love this job. And then you have it the other day where we're playing a scramble and the group took a 7 on a par 4 in a scramble. I was ready to kill myself. That doesn't even seem possible.
Scramble is like you're taking...
Scramble, you got 4 guys. You all hit a drive. You pick the best drive. You move all the balls to that drive. You all hit from there. You pick the best shot. You putt from there, whatever else. They took a 7. A triple bogey. Our best drive was a pop-up 150, left rough. Our best second shot was a shank that went like 60 yards forward and to the right rough. Our best next shot went 20 yards in front of us in the rough. Our best shot after that went over the green. Our best chip went to 15 feet, and then we two-putted as a group. There was another hole where we had like a legitimate 1.5 footer, and it took all 4 guys to make the putt. The first 3 missed. It's painful, dude. Painful.
What's the conversation on the course around that? What are these guys even talking about?
I had one guy too who, like, he thought he knew everything about golf. I was, like, making up rules as we went just to, like, move it along. Like, they hit it in the bunker, and I was like, you know, we get one club length and scramble so we could pull it out of the bunker and hit it next to the bunker. He's like, nah, fuck that. I like bunkers. I like the challenge. My man back here doesn't think we can get it out of the bunker. And then he, like, he hits it. Oh, give me another one. Give me another one. He didn't get it out of the bunker the first time. And then the three other guys are like, dude, we don't want to hit it out of the bunker, so we'll just play yours. So he hit two out of the bunker. Everyone else in the group was like, I don't want to play out of the bunker. So we literally went up. The first one he kept in the bunker. The second one he got like 5 yards out of the bunker. Still short of the green.
What was that like?
He knew it. He knew everything. Oh, it didn't break. It's like, dude, did you see yourself putt it? It was like the worst putt I've ever seen. The worst putt I've seen all summer.
Didn't break.
I was like,
you hit it like 100 miles an hour. Yeah. Like, where's the break?
We were behind, like, for the first, we got way behind. The group in front of us was slow, and they were two holes ahead of us. And we're on one where they have food. So they have, like, a grill set up, drinks, and whatever else. The guy who knows everything gets on the tee, and he hits two drives. And he hit them both under 60 yards, so he decided to walk out and pick them up. And I'm, like, yelling back, yo, we got to go. The other three guys, he's like, yeah, I know. He walks out 60 yards to get the ball, walks back 60 yards to the tee, goes over to the snack stand, and they don't come out for another 10 minutes. There was literally no backups in the entire course. By the time we left number one, there was four groups waiting on number one tee. And the group in front of us was on two green. And then they drive out, and like, yeah, look, like, we got to pick it up, so let's just skip this hole, and we'll go to number two. All right, that sounds good. And we just skipped number one and went to number two.
Surprised they agreed to that.
I was too. But on number 10, you know number 10?
Yeah.
10, the short par 3. That was our last hole of the day. And it's like 150 yards. The road is 100 yards. I made a deal with him on the 10. Like, I'll give you each two balls. If no one gets it across the road, we're just turning around and we're done. He's like, oh, I like a challenge. I'm like, all right, let's go. Top, 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 shank. Turn around and we're done.
They're that bad.
Yeah, brutal, dude. Brutal. So that was Monday.
I just don't understand, like, and the problem I have is, like, you don't know you're bad.
Well, the problem is he's, like, trying to tell me, like, exactly. Like, you don't know you're bad. Like, have you ever seen anyone else play golf, or do you four only play together? Fucking painful. I'm glad we got this thing out, because it's worth it. Just, like, keep track of it. It's not going to be on anything. Just, like, open, dial back in.
Yeah.
It's good. Those podcasts that we were doing were fun. Like, that was legitimate. That was fun. It had, like, some planning. And, again, it was, like, instead of watching a video, you actually hit a few golf balls at the range. Even though it might not lead to anything, it was like, hey, you hit a few golf balls at the range, you practiced a little bit.
Yeah, just, like, again, not to talk down about it, like, I think everything we did was positive, except the fact that, like, just not giving things enough time to unfold.
Yeah. Which I think is the big thing about Europe. Like, Europe, that's where the attractiveness of Europe comes in, because it's like, you have 3 months. Like, you have, it's like Burma. Like, Burma, I was there 3 weeks. But you're there 3 weeks, 24 hours a day with nothing else to do.
And it's funny, like, you talk about Burma, and, like, you say 3 weeks, but, like, the way you describe it, you would think you were there for, like, 6 months.
Yeah. And because it felt like 6 months.
Because of how, like, dedicated you are to a specific thing and how time slows down when
it's,
you don't.
It's immersion. Like, you're fully there. Like, literally, I did my wash once every 3 days in a bucket. But besides that, my schedule was set. I had an hour free every day to do what I wanted to do. Everything else was around fucking meditation. Even when you were eating, you were meditating. And then, like, they were making the food for you and whatever else. So literally 18 hours a day was spent meditating. So, like, even if you're there a week, I don't know what 18 times 7 is, but it's a very high number. Like, it's going to take 2 months, 3 months, 4 months to get that amount of time. And you're not going to get that amount of time uninterrupted, bam, 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 in sync, like, ready to go. It makes a big difference. Like, to disconnect, get out of the day-to-day, break the cycle, go to this one thing, that's the only thing you have to worry about, it's big.
Yeah, like, there's no question that I want to do it. It's the same for you. It's just...
just how?
Agreeing on when to do it.
Yeah. I think there's an opportunity in education for, like, I think we talked about the 0 to 10 thing on the podcast, but the 0 to 1, then 2 to 10, like, I think there's a big opportunity in education to do deep dives from 2 to 10. Like, there is probably a way to structure the info, maybe like homework's a big thing. Like, I don't think you learn without homework in school. Like, it's big, it's important. It's annoying when you're doing it, but you need to practice, and I think that's the problem with the internet. There's, like, no... you could probably do something where you were just giving the practice and, like, somehow rewarding people for completing the task, and then that you would get better at it as a whole. Because I'm not sure anyone's watched more YouTube videos than we have. We've watched a lot, like, podcast, YouTube videos. Like, it's sketchy how much. But it really hasn't led to any significant progress in the real world. It's like that edutainment thing is an easy way to say it, but it's even more than that. It's just like...
because even if we did the same amount of hours YouTube videos and podcasts, if we use that same amount of hours reading a book, I feel like would make even...
yeah.
It's even more of a difference because... it's actual work.
Yeah.
To read a book.
Yeah.
And again, to go back to, like, the immersion comment about, like, you're immersed when you're reading a book.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you can't do anything else.
Yeah.
Like, you can't text and read a book. Have you ever, like, had a conversation with someone while you're trying to read?
Yeah.
It's the most irritating
thing. You can't eat and read either.
Can't read, no.
Like, I've tried that. Like, I'll have a book, you can't even hold the book down and, like, eat your food, and it's like you got, like, a neck pain by the time you're done reading.
Yeah, so, like, think about how much information is getting lost by just going throughout your day. Like, you pick up nuggets, but at least for me, like, I retain a lot more information from a book overall than, like, a podcast or a video. I feel like those kind of just, unless you're fully focused, can go in one ear out the other kind of deal.
Yeah,
like, you do pick up a lot of stuff from the podcast, and I feel like we learned a lot, but
I agree and disagree. Go ahead.
I feel like if you picked a topic and you decided how am I going to go about learning the most information in the shortest period of time, like, I feel like taking a route of reading or something similar to reading is going to be more advantageous than
videos. I look at it a little different. I think that, because, like, I don't have a problem retaining what I'm getting on the podcast. The one benefit I think that the book has would be that it probably has more information than a podcast does, more specific, because, like, every podcast starts with, like, the first half hour is the guy explaining who he is and, like, his life story and whatever else, which, like, it's nice to hear, but it's not really going to help you. And then, like, it's not as much information, it's more like autobiography rather than, like, if you're reading a book on finance, like, it's going to be like, oh, this is debits and credits, this is assets and liabilities, this is this and this and this. Like, whereas a podcast is going to be more like, yeah, I'm John, and, you know, I worked at Fidelity for 6 years, and I did this, and then I did this, and then I did this. Like, it's not so much information in the podcast. So I think books are better along that line. But I still think just sitting there reading a book rather than, like, reading a book about finance and then, like, going on the internet and, like, pulling, like, charts and S2s of, like, companies and figuring out, like, what they're actually doing. I think you need to do more than just read the book. I think it's a step in the right direction, but I still think it's maybe it gets you to level 1.1 rather than, I don't think it gets you to 2. Like, there's been books that have had an impact on you, but, like, what tangible thing can you point to in the real world that is like, yeah, I read this book, and then this, yeah? Like, I read that Goggins book, it inspired me, I loved every minute of it, but, like, and maybe that's not the best example of a book, but I don't see.
Yeah, but, but it's more of, like, picking a topic and reading everything about it, we haven't done.
Yeah.
And that could include books, and the same thing, though, I think that can include case studies.
Yeah, that goes back to...
Like, you're not really diving into a topic and reading everything about it.
Yeah.
Like, we're reading, like, self-development books.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, these are just general, like...
Yeah, yeah.
Change your mindset, change your life. Like, those type of books. We're not reading, like... neuroscience.
Yeah, and I'm an idiot too because I like scan through that thing. I'll be like, yeah, so what part of this and what does it do for me? I'll be like, vitamin D. All right, it makes you feel better. All right, I need vitamin D. It's not like, oh, it attaches to this synapse and it does this and it gets the heart rate to this. And like, I don't know any of the specifics. I'm just like, vitamin D makes you feel better. Give me pills. You know? Like, I don't know, like, the process. I don't know, like...
Yeah, and I think... Right there is, like, a key indicator of, like, where there might be a disconnect of why we can't find something we enjoy doing long-term because we're thinking, how does this impact me and how does this impact me only?
Yeah.
As opposed to, how can I gain knowledge to serve others?
Yeah.
Because if you find something that you can serve, at the end of the day, you make money by serving other people.
Yeah, providing value.
So... instead of looking at vitamin D and saying, okay, I need this for my body, that's all I need to know because I have a general idea of how it's going to impact me, it's learning how does this actually work and then going and making a video about it to help others.
Yeah, but then and then it's also like trying it out on yourself and saying, hey, I went on this protocol for 3 months and this is the... I tracked everything and this is what happened. You know, my... blood work came back this way when it was this way. My sleep improved by this much with the Whoop. I had the HRV stuff dialed in. Like, it's more work than, oh, let me see if I could take this vitamin D and, like, see what happens. You know? Even with, like...
And again, it's good to test on yourself, right?
Yeah.
But we're not doing a good job of...
quantifying.
Turning that into something.
Yeah. Even, like, when you were working on your squat, like, you have no quantifiable evidence other than, like, some thoughts of how much better your squat got. Like, you can't say it went from this to this and in this amount of time or this, this, and this that go along with the squat got better also.
Yeah, I don't even know what I don't know what the cause is.
Yeah.
So it's like, well, how do you work on something when you don't know what's happening?
Yeah, you're just like...
what is happening in your body that, like, allows you to just sit there forever and for me to, like, not even come close to the parallel?
Yeah.
Like, what actually, is it an ankle? Is it flat feet? Is it my hips being broken? Is it tightness in the calf? Like, what's the issue? And then you can kind of pinpoint it. But again, that's, like, I just haven't been willing to go seek out a specialist and, like, to an hour training, like, hour session on, like...
yeah.
What's actually happening.
Yeah. We're doing a lot of running in place and then asking why we're not winning the marathon. We're just like... I picked my feet up as much as everyone else picked their feet up. Dude, you were running in place.
Dude, you're on a treadmill in the middle of the road.
I mean, I listened to that Kipchoge guy on the podcast, and he's like, you just got to do this. So I started doing that, and nothing happened.
I don't know. He said just run 13 miles an hour for 2 hours, and I shot it. Just couldn't do it.
I couldn't do it, so I was like, fuck it. I'll try skiing. Oh, I got to run 13.5 for 2 hours straight? Yeah, I got about 30 seconds, and I was like, I'm just not a runner.
I'm just not built for it.
Must be the genetics.
That's it. Gotta lay off the cheese.
Fucking stupid.
But yeah, I got my wellness snack.
So okay.
Like 2 days ago yesterday. So. Took like 4 doms today.
Yeah. Probiotics.
It's prebiotics.
Yeah. Just flushing the system.
Yeah, I mean, so yeah, it goes. This morning felt less foggy, but again, like this is easily placebo, but like that doesn't matter to me.
Yeah.
Like if the result's better,
no.
Who the fuck if it's my.
Yeah.
My mind creating that, I'll pay $100 a month to have my mind trip me. That works for me. So, I mean, we'll see how that trends, but.
Yeah, so what do you guys sell? Sell me anything!
Yeah, just sell me a whole lot of placebo. Nah, but, like, I actually do believe, like.
How many dumps did you take yesterday? To quantify those results.
Yeah.
From the six
that night was like straight green.
Yeah. When I did the vegan for like however many months, the dumps used to be like fucking just pooping out lettuce. Fucking green as could be. Like fucking mint chocolate chip ice cream. Just kind of like soft served right out of your butthole. Smell like the worst shit you've ever smelled in your life.
It's actually like relatively tasty too. Like.
The dumps?
For a greens powder, like you'd expect it to be actually around this.
You mix it with the protein or no?
Nah, so what I've. So on days I work out, I'll drink the pre workout, go work out, and then before my shower, post workout, I'll drink that on its own. So it's on an empty stomach, and then shower, let that digest for like 20 minutes or so. And then
shit your brains out. Shit your brains out. Eat breakfast. Shit your brains out.
But it's nice to be able to drink it on its own.
Yeah. What else comes with it? Prebiotic, and then what else?
Magnesium.
Okay, that makes you shit too, I think.
And I'm really curious to see how that impacts the sleep.
Yeah.
Turmeric. Krill oil. And then I bought the vitamin D on the side for like $7.
Okay.
That's, I think it's like 90 days worth. 5,000 IU.
That's the thing where you don't need the flu shot, right? It's like 34% effective or something, I guess.
17 flu shot.
Yeah, but the vitamin D is 34?
68.
68. You hear that, CVS? Bunch of beaters.
Dude, the pill, like the size of like the tip of a Q-tip, like. Couldn't be smaller. I wasn't expecting that. Like, it was the smallest pill. I wish everything was like that. You can eat.
Krill oil is small, too, no?
Smaller.
Yeah. The Onnit krill oil is real small. It's like a Tic Tac size.
Yeah, a little bigger, this one. But that they do, like, natural, even that one, they do, like, natural vanilla flavor, so, like, it tastes, like, delicious. Like, you know how fish oil, like, has a horrible aftertaste?
Yeah.
This has zero aftertaste.
Yeah, the Onnit one was good, too.
Good going down.
Yeah.
The magnesium and turmeric are, like, horse pills. I have no problem swallowing pills, so it doesn't make a difference. But for someone who does,
those can you, pills... Can you do, like, five pills in your mouth at once and just chug them?
Yeah.
I don't got that. I got, like, one at a time.
Maybe not five of those fucking horse pills, but...
Yeah. I got, like, one at a time, and I need quiet in the room for me to take one down.
I used to be that way. I got over it. And then, I don't know, they sent me the wrong flavor of the pre-workout, but they sent me, like, two of them, so I'll take that deal. And then I got the organic protein with the stack. Still finishing up the mass gainer, but we'll see how the other one goes.
What's in the pre-workout? Didn't you say...
It's just everything except...
caffeine.
So you're getting the beta alanine, the citral,
the mango.
What's up?
Citral mango. Is that mango powder?
Or whatever. You're getting a
BCAAs.
BCAAs. You're getting some creatine. But all like the correct dosages. Like that's a big key for.
Yeah.
A lot of the pre-workouts, they don't put the right dosages. They say it's in there, but it's like, why are you even taking it? Because it's, like, useless.
Yeah.
They're just putting in all the ingredients.
Apparently, BCAAs make your hair fall out. That sketches me out.
No.
I like BCAAs a lot. They help a lot. I feel like when I was taking them, they were really beneficial. But... There's a lot on, like, they're bad for your teeth and they make your hair fall out. So I was like, ah. So I doubled my dose.
Yeah, that's like where you really need to start getting into, like.
Yeah, scientific.
The actual studies.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm just, like, trying to get away from, like, just reading articles.
Yeah. Yeah, I think Oprah said that.
But it's so easily, like.
There's so much.
And like you said, like with just how things work, like when you're joking around about the tourism in Latin America or whatever, wherever it was, like I feel like there's a strong chance that it's the same for that type of stuff.
Oh, 100%.
Oh, I don't like you for selling this BCA product. Yeah. Like, let me just roast this.
Yeah.
And just put like ridiculous data in here.
Yeah.
Where it's like if someone like Sean Stevenson, I can go to him because I know he's.
Yeah.
Everything he talks about, he's like, yeah, so this study from Harvard, this study from Albuquerque University.
Well, that's...
Just breaks down all the studies that, like, are actually science-based.
I wanted to bring this up earlier, but I don't think I did. But if I did, stop me. But I was caddying for some marketing guy earlier in the year, and it was with Carson Daly. And they were talking about, we should get Carson Daly on the pod. Blow it up right away. It was with Carson Daly, and they were talking about the big thing now with everything is the host. Like, if you can have a host that gives a unique perspective or has unique experience, that's basically how you're selling shows, because the information has been commoditized. The information is everywhere. It's all, like, all over the place. You got to find the guy that you trust or the guy that you like his perspective or you like his idea, and then he can talk about any topic. Like, you don't go to Rogan for one specific thing, but you trust Rogan and the way he lives his life. So anything he says, you can kind of, like, latch onto or find a way to incorporate it. Like, you're going to Rogan for Rogan. You don't really care what he talks about. You're going for Sean Stevenson, and you like his background. You have some trust in what he's gone through, who he is. Same thing with TB. Like, it's the personality. So, again, back to the value for, like, me and you, like, you got to be someone of value so that people can come and trust you. And then, like, you go to Gary Vee because he's authentic. Like, you know that what he's saying is true. He's not lying. He's a good person.
He's not selling anything.
Yeah, you assume all those things. But, like, he's been historically correct. Like, it's very, everything's brand now. Like,
which is, in a way, is, like, almost the best news you can get with thinking about our situation, because, like, the real seller is, like, you and I. And,
yeah.
Like, our uniqueness.
Yeah, it's like, did you figure it out or did you not? And if you figured it out, all right, I'll listen. That's like where the value comes.
Right, but I just think there's a percentage of people that are just going to connect with our personality.
Yeah.
And.
But it's more so what you've done along with your personality.
Right, but yeah. But again, you can go through those things, you can learn, and then the nice part about it is you could just reflect on your experience, and then people can decide if they like you or not. Like, that's the nice thing about it.
Like, no, it's not about, like, what you've done, like, you're a stud right off the bat, whatever else. It's like, in 10 years, you listen to this podcast, and it's like, wow, you two were idiots just like I was, and then, like, you're sitting on a beanbag chair, we don't have a couch right now, we're just, like, sitting here. It's like, oh, I can connect with those two idiots because that's exactly where I am right now. Look where they're at. All right, let's just listen to what they say because they've been where I am and they are somewhat near where I'm trying to go. But the only way that works is if, like, you grow out of an idiot and into something of value. I was thinking back to those Jesse Itzler videos today. Dude, those were solid. They were solid. I was watching, like, TikTok's kind of like Vine. If we put, like, a half hour into TikTok, we'd be pretty good at it. Like, that's kind of like what we were doing with those Jesse Itzler videos.
Yeah.
They're small, simple. Kind of like the crappier the better if you can make it like play into the story, which is like there's no production value on TikTok. We were doing good. Like with the podcast, there's something there that was like actually reasonably decent. It was just early.
If we've done a podcast every week since we released the first one, where we're at now, it's like,
yeah,
you're just never gonna know until like you just commit to it for a long time.
I was thinking about that too. Like, what happens if we won that Jesse Itzler contest? Like, how much would that have changed things?
And on top of that, like, we missed that one. But by discontinuing the podcast, we basically like
proved
evaporated
right.
Our chances to get another thing that's like that.
Yeah.
We were on the hunt, so we found that.
Yeah.
You know, how many missed opportunities.
Yeah.
That's the important part of it.
Yeah.
It's not so much like, does this podcast blow up?
Yeah.
It's like, what does it produce potentially from a door that you didn't see?
Yeah. Even, like, if you were applying to, say, like, you come back, you're like, I really need to go back to school. And it's like, hey, write us an essay. It's like, I can do one better. Here's a highlight video of the last 3 months, and, like, this is what I did. You know? Like, it's hitting one or two golf balls at the range rather than watching a fucking video. Like, it's a shit podcast. Who cares? Like, this is nothing tonight. But at least it's like, there's a quantifiable thing that you have here. Rather than some information in your head from a video while you were texting.
And I just don't have a good memory of my life. Like,
yeah.
So, like, to have physical, tangible videos and audio clips is so valuable. Like, I love pictures.
Yeah.
I love looking back at old videos. But I don't do them enough. Whereas, like, I prefer to have, like, my life like a YouTube vlogger.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, fuck, I remember this exact point from 21 to 21 and a half.
Yeah.
This was, like, a sick 6 months of my life.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, it's just blah. Like, I don't remember much. Like,
yeah.
All blends together. Like, this conversation becomes